Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well will be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Michael Wald, otherwise known as the Blood Detective. You know, a patient asked me today, says, where did that Blood Detective label start? How did that start? And I told him, as I've said several times on the show before, that it was basically a patient, or the husband, actually, of a patient said to me after I had diagnosed her with a rare condition that she had suffered from for many years. He said, you know, you're like a blood detective. And I thought to myself, that is an awesome thing. I can really stand behind that. So that is the reason why I'm nicknamed the Blood Detective. And that's why this show is Ask the Blood Detective. Those of you who are regular listeners, first of all, I appreciate that very much. I've looked at the amount of traffic that my show received and receives, and how many of you are downloading the show and re-listening to the show. And I deeply appreciate it. I also appreciate the fact that so many of you are giving me the topics that you want to hear. That's why if you search on my website under my blog section of all the different shows, you will find that many major health questions, many fundamentally important health topics I've covered. And I've covered it to a level of detail and, I believe, perspective, and this is from feedback from you, the audience, that you've never heard before. I think I can do this because of my background of education, having completed chiropractic school, medical school, master's degree in nutrition, dietetic school, nursing school that I'm currently doing. All of these things I do because there are different perspectives, updated information. It reinforces my knowledge in a variety of areas because my goal is to provide you the most up-to-date, connected, and holistically relevant, not just information, but practical tips to improve your health and to keep your health where you want it to be. Now, today's show is everything allergy, and it's everything you want it to be, this show, but there's something different about it because every Ask the Blood Detective show is different. It's different because I believe through my last 27 years of clinical experience, I've heard quite a lot. I know what it is for the most part that people need to hear. I know what clarifications need to be made. Well, at least I have what I think is a good idea. But I always defer to those of you that work with me to find out what your clarifications are. And you have said that you're interested in allergies. So let me give you the first bit of misinformation about allergies you hear everywhere. And not only will you probably agree with my explanation of this misconception and allergy, but you will not have to take my word for it simply because you heard it on this show. Now, let's step back for a second. The term allergy has a very broad definition, so I'm just going to define it very simply for the purpose of this very focused conversation, a conversation that I believe if you listen to it has the potential of changing your life for the better. An allergy basically is a reaction that your body has to one substance or another that you're either exposed to from the outside environment, what we call exogenously, or that you're exposed to internally, or what we call endogenously. And the term allergy has to include that there is some sort of adverse reaction, some sort of unwanted reaction. Now, that is the definition of an allergy. Now, the definition I gave of this particular show also included how allergy impacts longevity. Listen to this, please. I believe that allergies are the masquerader of practically every disease and dis-ease, every symptom, every sign that human beings can experience throughout the aging process. Why do I say this? How do you understand that on a level that you will not have to take it as some opinion of mine, but you just get it innately? Well, here's how. Think of your body and think of how it's aged
throughout the course of your life. The very process of aging itself is a degenerative process. Now, there are many theories as to how and why human beings age. I've done at least two shows on the topic of longevity and anti-aging, and I would invite you to take a listen to them. Because if you are as serious about your longevity as I am, then you'll want to listen to these shows because I pack them with all of the practical information that you need to change your life. Now, again, let's back up once again. If aging, I am saying it's an analogy. As your body breaks down, cells, tissues, and organs lose their capacity of optimal functioning, right? I mean, isn't that what aging is? Now, there are many reasons why we age. I'll get to those in a moment. But for now, simply accept and really think about this, that you age because you break down. That's simple enough. But what's behind this breakdown process? Well, as the body breaks down, that also tells us that the regenerative healing capacity of the body is exceeded. It is overcome. It is beaten down by the degenerative process. Simply put, when the degenerative process exceeds the reparative process, you age. Now, when you think about it, we do not age the same. For example, I'm 51 years old. I can run a 3:30 marathon. I lift weights. I do martial arts. I have absolutely no limitations, and I had a diagnosis of MS, as many of you know from listening to my show, when I was 18. I take steps on a daily basis that are doable, that I believe promote a different sort of aging. Now, if you have shoulder pain or knee pain or arthritis or muscle aches or any persistent health problem, think of that as your aging. That's how you are aging. And organs, by the way, they do not age at the same rate. For example, another example, it is known, especially in traditional medicine, that it is our kidneys, our renal system, that tends to age disproportionately to the rest of us, which means that in many cases, we have individuals in their 50s and above that suffer from or are actually unaware of renal disease, which is called chronic renal insufficiency. And blood work will show elevated levels, slight elevated levels. We're talking just outside of the normal range on the high end most of the time. And doctors will say to individuals with these lab findings, their creatinine is slightly elevated, okay, creatinine. They'll say, don't worry, that's common for your age. Well, it may be common for those above age 50, but, and this is how you become your own blood detective, listen to this statement, that when your creatinine is the slightest bit, like 0.1 elevated, that means you have approximately 25 to 30% loss of your kidney function. And your doctor says, or may say, well, that we see that all the time. It's expected in older individuals. Well, look, lots of things may be expected or common, but as common sense or our holistic common sense would tell us, that is not acceptable. That was an example, renal degenerative changes, of a type of accelerated aging in human beings. When the kidneys age like this, this is why I brought this example up, it ages because its cells start to degenerate, maybe from lack of nutrition, which causes lack of repair, so those renal cells, those kidney cells, can continue to function and look like normal renal cells. That's called, the technical term for that is maintaining their normal morphology and function. If the cells of your joints, the cells of your thyroid, the cells of your brain, your skin, your intestines, your blood vessels, your kidneys, you name the organ system, it does not matter. When those tissues start to break down, when the breakdown process exceeds the repair process, your body becomes allergic to itself. What I've just said is the key distinction on this particular show today. Namely, that your aging of all human beings, in fact, of all mammals, is an allergy. Because the other component of allergic degenerative stress is that the tissue becomes unlike its normal self. Our immune systems, and you heard me right, we have more than one immune system. Each of them needs particular attention. Not all of them are treated with the same nutrition or the same diet or the same lifestyle improvements. And one or more of those three major arms of our immune systems interprets the degenerative changes in any tissue in our body that is degenerating as non-self. That's a fancy term for, what do you think? For foreign. For those of you who got it, you're following me. So simply put, through the course of time, our bodies age in unique or at least different ways compared to others around us. Our body's innate intelligence and our body's healing capacity attempts to right itself, attempts to correct by mobilizing its nutritional and its energetic and other reserves towards trying to maintain itself. But eventually, the body fails to different extents in different organs and tissues and systems to maintain itself. And then one or more of the arms of our immune system attack our cells. And that is the definition of self-allergy, or what is called autoimmunity. Okay, so some of you, a light bulb just went off in your head because you're thinking, well, autoimmunity, I certainly have heard of that. Autoimmune diseases, you mean like Hashimoto's thyroiditis, or that skin problem that occurs with gluten called dermatitis herpetiformis, or leaky gut syndrome and malabsorption, multiple sclerosis, diabetes type 1, diabetes type 2. Most cancers have a strong component of allergic characteristics. Remember what I said before. I believe that allergies are the masquerader of any disease or dis-ease. What I meant by that when I say it now, and I said it earlier, is that every degenerative process in your body creates a situation where your tissues become unlike their normal selves. The body is so smart, and our immune systems are so smart, when it surveys the rest of our body and spots tissues that are unlike normal tissues, it says, I got to get that guy. I got to mobilize inflammatory mediators and other different types of chemicals and physiologic reactions to rid this body of that foreign something, of that degenerative cell. But when the degenerative process doesn't correct itself, when you fail to meet your nutritional requirements, when you fail to make specific lifestyle changes that might lend themselves to more efficient repair, your immune system continues to recognize the abnormalities, the things that are not quite right. Very easily, by the way, it superimposes an idea, because the innate intelligence of the body's immune system knows what normal is somehow. And when you become unlike normal, your immune systems go for it. Now, in my show, Everything Immune, I talk in great detail about the three arms of the immune system. But what I'll say for the purposes of everything allergy today, and how your very style, we'll call it, of your aging process is really an allergy in disguise is in part because of your immune system recognizing you as foreign and going for it. So the immune response to you is not a wrong process. Your immune system is doing exactly, or immune systems, exactly what they were designed to do, to protect you from foreign invaders. But clearly, when it comes to aging inappropriately, premature disease, for example, and or the high levels of various types of degenerative diseases that we see today, strongly suggests that we are doing a relatively poor job by offsetting the degenerative process, and that result, obviously, in potentially a shorter life, but a shorter life that is consistent with a multitude of diseases, what we call in medicine disease clusters, which is a fancy term for lots of areas in the body are breaking down. And depending on how they break down and the symptoms and signs they produce, one or more different types of physicians or healthcare providers are sought to direct their attention to that body part. But the aging process being an allergy implies that allergic degenerative changes do not always occur, and I would suggest almost never only occur in one place. A simple example. Let's say you're allergic to lactose. Your body genetically lacks the enzyme lactase, which, by the way, 70% of African Americans, half of Asians, and I would venture to say that most individuals on this planet do not make lactase enzyme. And why should they? It makes no sense that the body would make an enzyme to break down milk products of other animals. The fact that human beings consume the milk, which contains milk sugar called lactose, from other animals is a foreign invader to most of us living on this planet. But my point in bringing this up, the whole lactase deficiency and allergy to dairy products, is that it's mostly thought, lactose deficiency or lactase deficiency, or lactose intolerance, as you've probably heard of, affects the gastrointestinal tract, causing, let's say, diarrhea, bloating, gas, and cramping, and pain, abdominal pain. Now, most gastroenterologists, GI doctors, would tell you that lactose intolerance is a gut problem from this enzyme deficiency I just described. But they would never admit, and try me if I'm wrong, ask your GI doctor, that someone's asthma could be caused by that lactase deficiency or lactose intolerance. Someone's eczema, skin problems, or someone's brain fog, for example, or their fibromyalgia could possibly be caused by the gastrointestinal insults, because specialists tend to see things in a specialized way. They've designed and trained their brains for many years in medical school to think of the different organ systems as separate. And again, as I've said in different Ask the Blood Detective radio show topics, that this type of thinking and education, although needed and valuable in many instances, is not a true depiction of how the body works. Now, semantics would tell us that if we are learning to think of the body in a wrong way for the purpose of specialization and compartmentalization, and to learn this stuff, it's hard. So medical schools divide up body parts into the gastrointestinal system, the nervous system, where neurologists handle things, the endocrinologists, where they handle endocrinopathies or hormone diseases or dysfunctions, or dermatologists or cardiologists. You get the point. Is that If we have a wrong model for relating to and approaching the healing process and approaching the disease prevention process and approaching the health promotion process, when we are learning things from a wrong compartmentalized perspective, what do you think happens? Many of you have experienced this. You do not get helped. You become frustrated because you're very intelligent and well-meaning doctors, by the way, do not understand that foods, environmental chemicals, infectious agents can all be sources of distress on the body, affecting multiple organ systems at the same time, and or affecting them at the same time, but you don't have symptoms of that at the same time. My point here is that if we understand, if we agree to what I think is a fact, that the body is connected, and it's not just connected to itself, meaning our organ systems are connected, you know, physically, anatomically, they're connected, but we are inextricably connected to our external environments and therefore influenced by them in ways that are sometimes obvious and in other ways that are sometimes not so obvious, such as the effects of electromagnetic or ionizing radiation upon the body and the degeneration of cells in our immune system and the production, let's say, of cancer. So my point is this. If we accept the fact that we age and disease is a byproduct of one big allergy that results from degeneration in our bodies because our body fails to keep up with the pace of degenerative insults, which is what we call aging, that results from all manner of stresses on the body, inside of our bodies and outside of our bodies, then disease happens. Now, some of you are thinking, well, what about food allergy and environmental chemical testing? Can't I just do these tests and figure out what I'm allergic to and reduce those insults on my body? Well, the answer is yes, that in some cases, food allergy, environmental chemical allergies, and other types of antibody and allergy tests are useful. But I want to tell you another practical mistake that is made in traditional medicine, I believe, and also alternative medicine and natural medicine when it comes to allergy testing of any type and any form. Please hear this. This will save you many years and tons of money on wrong tests and wrong approaches. Think of this. This allergy reaction that we're talking about, which I believe you will agree with me by this time in the conversation, that it's a degenerative process, it must involve inflammation. Aha! The inflammatory component of disease. Even traditional medicine, which tends to be slow on some of these larger concepts, even traditional medicine, generally speaking, accepts the fact that virtually all human decay must involve, on some level, some sort of inflammatory process or processes. Inflammation is not just inflammation. There are many types of inflammation. There are many causes of inflammation and many ways that the body drives the inflammatory response. The reason I am discussing inflammation is because we cannot have a conversation about what allergies are, and furthermore, how our aging process itself is an allergy, without bringing in the concept of inflammation. Now, the reason why I'm telling you this is because inflammation being so common, and by the way, inflammation in you right now can look like whatever health problem you have. Migraine headaches, intestinal problems, even depression can be inflammation. Not the typical things you would think, like an inflamed joint or a painful muscle. Inflammation is a fundamental process that drives not only allergic degeneration and aging in our bodies, but inflammation of a sort also adds to revitalization and repair of many tissues, cells, and organ systems. For example, the inflammatory process is also needed to break down abnormal cells, like certain cancer cells and old and dying cells. But when the inflammatory process goes awry, and the chances of it going awry living on this planet in today's day and age is probably almost the rule, what we have is a dysfunctional inflammatory system that gets caught up in an inflammatory loop, what you may have heard referred to as a vicious cycle of inflammation, symptoms, and disease and dysfunction. So to summarize for a moment, what I'm saying is that virtually any health problem a person has is a byproduct of inflammation. We'll start backwards. And inflammation occurs when your immune systems recognize your body tissues as somehow not its own, which triggers a cascade of inflammatory events, which, by the way, circulate throughout your entire body. That's the part that throws traditional medicine off, I would venture to say. Meaning, if you have an inflammatory problem in your small intestine, that could give you everything from migraines to fungal infections in your toenails to vascular circulatory issues, lymphatic drainage issues, immune issues, you name it, it can cause it. So to complete this thought that I brought out a few minutes ago about testing for allergies, if you have inflammation, and you do, it throws off these allergy tests. If I had a nickel for every time a person came to me with allergy testing, they said, no, Dr. Wood, look, I have all of these allergies. And I'll say, well, if you have inflammation, that will cause false allergy testing. This is a known fact. So a person who first runs out to get allergy testing without first determining the extent and type of inflammation is going to have an allergy report, whether it's environmental chemicals and or food allergy testing, that is incorrect. But you're thinking, no, Dr. Wall, that's not true because I followed this test result. It said I needed to eliminate these 12 foods. Well, let me let you in on a little secret. Well, and it's namely this, that if you eliminate a bunch of foods and your body, your body's metabolic rate and your body's immune system and inflammatory cascades and digestive function is driven by these foods, but you eliminate a bunch of foods, you're going to slow down all of that process and you're going to feel much better. So it's sort of like you avoiding something you know is bad for you, let's say, but never fixing the reason why it's bad for you. So you may have allergy test results that show all these allergens. But the reason why they show that, as one example, folks, is that you may have excessive inflammation in your intestinal tract with no symptoms, no intestinal symptoms at all, that are causing food particles, if we're talking about food allergy testing, to leak out through an inflammatory small intestine lining. They make their way into the blood, these undigested food particles or partially digested food particles, and your immune system sees them, reacts to them. It directs one or more levels of your immune system to attack. And what your immune system throws at these foreign chemicals, whether they're foods, this is important, whether they're foods, these foreign chemicals, whether they're bacteria, viruses, parasites or fungi in your foods or were in your gut normally that leak out, they shouldn't be in the blood. Your immune system throws at it inflammatory chemicals. Many of these chemicals are called cytokines. Your body's immune response, part of it may involve the production of antibodies. Now, how do you remember all this stuff? Well, this is pretty easy when you think about it. Think of the word antibody. Anti the body. That's exactly what it means. So, not every allergy involves the production of antibodies. There's many ways the body reacts to different types of allergies. And by the way, all the various ways that your body responds to the allergy that we call disease and aging and loss of longevity itself almost always involves a crisscrossing of all the different parts of the immune system. They're not mutually exclusive, is what I mean to say. And of course, holistic thinking, holistic mindedness would let us know that innately. So when the body makes these antibodies, think of the antibodies as little Pac-Man, you know, from that game Pac-Man. They chew, they swim around, they see these foreign things. These foreign things, as I say, could be foods, chemicals in your environment, such as parasites, bacteria, viruses, fungi in your very foods or in your gut that make their way into your blood, and your aging cells. All of these triggering an antibody and what's called an antigenic response. And those little Pac-Men spit out inflammatory mediators because those mediators burn up. They're like a fire. They're meant to burn up in a sense. And of course, this isn't entirely accurate, but this is a fair analogy. These inflammatory mediators are there to break up that bacteria, break up that cancer cell, break up that foreign thyroid cell, brain cell, skin cell, heart cell, glandular tissue. So it's removed so the body's immune system can chill out for a while. And it's during that quiet phase where the body can catch its breath, so to speak, so that it can heal in a more purposeful way. When we talk about allergy, and when we talk about how aging and disease is an allergy, from my perspective, this must direct us immediately back to the gut. And as I've said, but I want to say it in another way, you know, your gastrointestinal tract is exposed to an enormous load of potentially foreign materials, what they call antigenic materials, because it evokes the antibody response of your body. And your body has to deal with this extreme load of potentially caustic substances on a daily basis. You can have an allergy response in your gut, let's say to dairy or to broccoli or to beans or legumes. Any food, even the so-called healthy foods, may be viewed by your body as unfriendly, and your body starts to attack them. But here's the next distinction that I'd like to let you know about, is that when your body attacks that gluten or that dairy, you name it, it often confuses the thing it's attacking with certain parts of the body. So let me use the example of gluten, since it's so well known and talked about, as a metaphor for how anything that your body interprets as foreign, that it's exposed to and reacts to, causes aging and disease. As I just mentioned, if you were to consume gluten, you might have a very obvious reaction to it, like gastrointestinal discomfort and diarrhea. You might have celiac disease, which is an inborn, genetically determined gluten intolerance. But in my experience, most people do not have celiac disease. They have some lesser version of celiac disease, which I would call non-celiac gluten intolerance, or possibly gluten allergy. We might be able to distinguish these terms a little later in the show. We'll see how much time we have. But the point I'm trying to make here is that a person may have a very well-known response to, let's say, gluten or anything else. You might know what it is. And many times, you may not have any obvious symptoms until you have a big symptom, like a stroke, or you have a change in your nervous system one day where you just don't have the same balance. You feel off. Your reaction time may reduce mentally and physically. What am I talking about? We know that gluten, since I'm using that as an example of how an allergy in your body can cause problems anywhere, is gluten is known to cause a disease called cerebellar ataxia, which means this. Here's my point in this whole gluten conversation. I'm saying to you that virtually any type of allergy, whether it's to your own body tissues or to something else, will create a cascade of events that destroys and damages the functioning of other tissues in your body that you may have obvious symptoms of, and often you do not have obvious symptoms of, until your body cannot handle it anymore and it breaks down and you have a big disease. That's when a patient says to me, "Dr. Wald, I was fine all my life and all of a sudden I had neurologic disease." Well, this gluten ataxia condition I just talked about, here's how it's caused, and here's why you need to hear this, because it represents the whole model of how any type of allergy can cause any problem anywhere. And then I'm going to talk about what to do about all this. If you eat gluten, you may not have an intestinal reaction. You may not have celiac disease. You may have shrinkage of your brain. That is literally what cerebellar ataxia is. Every decent neurologist knows about cerebellar ataxia. And if you ask that doctor what it is, they will say, well, it's kind of an allergy. People will eat gluten and the body's immune system attacks the gluten. But the gluten, the structure, the chemical nature, I'm going to say that again, the chemical makeup, the chemical nature of the gluten itself, how it's put together that makes it uniquely gluten, you know? Like how its proteins are put together in a certain order, that would be gluten, or that could be a steak, or that could be your heart. It's all determined by the order. The body reacts to that gluten, says, "I don't like you." But then the body does something very, very bad. It gets confused. It thinks the person's cerebellum, which is the part of the brain in the back of the head, is foreign. And it attacks it, and it degenerates the nerve cells, the neurons in the cerebellum. And then people get neurologic symptoms, most commonly balance problems. They may be very subtle. They may occur over decades. By the time they are obvious to neurologists, most people have an advanced case. And you've heard that before with other diseases, right? Yeah, you know, he, she, Jane, John, they were healthy. All of a sudden, something happened, and they've got this advanced disease. How can that be? Think about it. All disease, for the most part, is a gradual or not so gradual process of degenerative decay, of allergies that the body tries to manage, it tries to compensate. And when it loses the ability to compensate, that's called loss of resiliency factors. The body, in a sense, gives up and it expresses all of these symptoms and signs that you're aware of. The point of this example of gluten affecting the cerebellum is that the body got confused. It can be exposed to its own degenerative self, your body as it breaks down, and your immune system jumps to other organs through this vicious cycle. And that's what immunologists would call autoimmune disease. Auto meaning self, attacking oneself as if your own body was foreign. Now, how would you possibly interfere with a process like that, which is the same process I just described with the gluten? It would have been nice if the body just attacked the gluten. But in celiac disease, where else does the body attack? Well, the small intestine, for those of you who got that right. The body says, hey, I don't like your gluten, and it mounts a vigorous immune response. But because the sequence of proteins of the small intestine can look very similar to gluten, something happens which neurologists call molecular mimicry, which basically means the body got confused between something else, the gut, that looked a lot like the gluten. Now, dermatologists know, now we're jumping from the intestinal tract, that's the purview of the gastroenterologist, and then how gluten can cause problems in the cerebellum or any place in the nervous system, I'm telling you now. And that's in the arena of the neurologist. And then we just jump to the skin because the proteins in the skin in genetically susceptible people may look like the gluten that the body was reacting to initially. And then a person gets a skin condition, which is called dermatitis herpetiformis by dermatologists. Every dermatologist on the planet Earth, again, I say that with a little bit of reservation, I should quantify that and say any decent dermatologist has heard of this condition, and they know it's from gluten. So why would some healthcare professionals say that, well, you know, foods only cross-react with a couple of, you know, about maybe a dozen different diseases, but that's it. I would say that's wrong. I would say that the potential of the body to react and be triggered from a food or an infectious agent or a chemical or by itself that causes a ricochet effect or a cascading effect and essentially making the body one big allergic reaction is the rule rather than the exception. So what do we do about this? Well, certainly everyone, again, listening to a show like this and a station like this is much more educated than the average person. There's no doubt about that. And you know that a healthy diet would be something other than the standard American diet, what is called euphemistically the SAD diet, S-A-D, which would mean it is a diet composed of low inflammatory foods, sort of like a vegan diet. It has a preponderance, or should at least, have more fruits and vegetables and whatever other foods, beans, nuts, seeds. And it should be very low in saturated fat and trans fats and sugar and white flour. You know what I'm talking about? But here's the lie in that. This is the lie. The lie is that there is such thing as a healthy, fundamentally healthy diet for everyone. And how do you know that's true? Because I want you to be your own blood detective. That's the whole goal of this show. How do you know what I'm saying is true in this case? You know because if, for example, your body can be allergic to beans, your body can have an obvious allergy to even coconut oil. Your body can certainly have an allergy to peppers. My point is that each individual has their own idiosyncratic reactions potentially to anything. So what is healthy for one person may not be healthy for another. Now I want to remind you that you may not have symptoms that you can recognize that prove to you that something you're eating, or by the way, that sometimes a person has reactions not to the food they're eating, but to the bacterial contaminants on food. Now, we know this. For example, food poisoning is a result of bacterial overgrowth, like, for example, of E. coli on food products that we consume, and that E. coli releases bacterial endotoxin, which creates this inflammatory cascade, degenerative effects, and all kinds of extremely unpleasant symptoms in the gastrointestinal tract, in the form of diarrhea, nausea, bloating, pain, headache, fatigue, malaise, muscle and joint aches. The list goes on and on. So it's important to figure out what you need as opposed to you adapting what is generally accepted to be a healthy diet. It's no different than a healthy diet for, let's say, a woman in the third trimester of pregnancy should have more, I'm just making this up here, more protein and calcium, for example. And a person who is an athlete, who is a long-distance runner, their healthy diet might have more carbohydrates than protein. Or the diet of someone with a degenerative disease may be very similar to someone who's a bodybuilder. It should be much higher in nutritional density, much higher probably in proteins. And these are, again, generalizations, to affect healing. So my approach to people, the blood detective approach to people, is to literally rewrite the book of what a person needs. There are a number of different types of assessment tests. There are many good questions to ask that help to reveal what your particular way of living, which includes what you eat, what you drink, how you should exercise, and other lifestyle suggestions, and how they will impact you. So I put together what I call a blood detective longevity questionnaire. And it's a well-thought-out questionnaire that is based, by the way, on yet other questionnaires that have been extremely well-studied for their ability to predict disease and increased morbidity and mortality. So questionnaires, the right questionnaires, and particularly the blood detective questionnaires, I believe, that I've put together, help to identify some of these, just like any physician or healthcare provider's intake should help figure things out. Well, the more detailed the questionnaire is, probably the better they will be in terms of information so you can build health. Reducing your body as an allergy. So questionnaires, but questionnaires must be interpreted, right? If you have a very good overall metabolic screening questionnaire that looks into every organ system, but it's interpreted by any one type of, let's say, healthcare specialist, they are going to be very tunnel vision in how they interpret things relative to what they know. That's just human nature. This is why I have gone out of my way to expose myself constantly to different types and extents of learning about the body. As I said earlier, I went to chiropractic college. I'm a second generation chiropractor. I completed medical school. I earned an MD degree. I have a master's degree in nutrition. I have a dietetics degree. I have a certified nutrition specialist degree. I'm looking for a nurse practitioner's degree at the moment. My point is, you never stop learning. You never stop looking differently at the body. If you have a persistent health problem that you just cannot figure out why you have it, and you're thinking, I don't understand it. I've done exactly what I'm supposed to do. I've eaten healthy, like I had a patient today. She kept saying this over and over. She says, yeah, I'm gaining weight. I don't have the exercise tolerance I had before. My memory is a little bit shot. I've got this problem, I've got that problem, but you know, I eat mostly organic, and I eat raw milk, and I do this and that. And I said, well, consider this. All of those things that you said you're doing, which on paper sound very reasonable, they're wrong. They're clearly not working. You've been doing them, you say, for what, 10 years? They're not working. So you need something other than that. You need what I like to call, and this is the title of an upcoming book of mine, a new normal. That is something you must figure out. Now, this should not be a concept too foreign to you. When you think about it this way, you can imagine that if someone has, let's say, increased cardiovascular disease risk, they may have had a heart attack already or a stroke, or they have high cholesterol and they're on their way to a cardiovascular event potentially, that they might need a diet higher in fish. So on a basic level, that would be true. And sure, fish is toxic and it's got mercury and farm-raised fish is disgusting. But my point is that you can imagine that different health problems need their normal diet plan, their particular dietary approach. When it comes down to it, when you fail to give your body what it needs and you stick to some healthy concept or what you think should be healthy, like all of the things I just mentioned, and you still are plagued by persistent issues or you have not managed one or more health problems that you want to manage, you must consider that your approach is wrong. You know, whether it is in the health arena or even in business, you know, a rule in business, and I've read many books on business where it talks about what makes like an entrepreneur or a business person successful. One of the things that I've read in multiple places is that someone who's successful is someone who is malleable in their approach. Sure, they have a business plan. They have a well thought out concept of the steps that they should take to get to what it is they want. But those that tend to fail or have less extreme success than those that have extreme success is that those that don't get it right are those that stick to their initial plan too strongly. In their minds, they're thinking, well, this is the plan. I just have to stick to it. I just have to work harder. I just have to stick to the plan. These are, I would venture to say, insane concepts, because whoever said working harder gets you further? There are individuals in all walks of life that don't work that hard and they have extreme success. They have worked less hard over time and their success keeps growing and growing. It's not working hard. It's working smart. And the working smart is being malleable. Having the wherewithal to change your approach if you're not getting to where you want to go and you can't understand why because you think you're doing it right, except that you're not. So as a blood detective, self-proclaimed blood detective, as a health coach, one of my responsibilities in working with people is I am on the outside of them, and I get to be in that very honorable position, and it is quite easy to see where people have lost their way. I mean, again, when this very intelligent woman today kept saying over and over that she cannot understand how the approach she's using, because it's supposed to be right. She's eating organically and she's chewing her food well and she's not drinking fluids with her meals. And when she eats, she's relaxing and she's chewing her food until they're liquid and she's choosing organic food and most of her diet is plant-based. All the right things that are not working, that's because she needs a new plan. So I would encourage you, once again, as your own personal blood detective, to consider, number one, that your health right now is a function of how well your body fights its way against the propensity of the body to be one big allergic reaction. That allergic reaction and its effect upon cells, tissues, organs, organ systems, your health, is mediated by, it's caused by, involves, I should say, a multitude of inflammatory mediators, histamine, interleukins, cytokines, chemicals with long names, such as thromboxanes, prostaglandin 1s, prostaglandin 2s. But here is the good news. If you get the nutrition right through a methodical, organized approach that helps you easily eliminate the things that may seem right but are wrong, that helps you clear the air so you can make smarter, personalized choices rather than following some guru or concept of what healthy living should be, you, just like the business person that we spoke about earlier, that is malleable, will tend to be far more successful in managing your health. You know, I'll leave you with one last quick concept. Well, two. Number one, the smart choice of eating properly and environmental exposures and how you structure your life and the nutritional supplements you should take should be a function of what you need. The doses must be correct for you. The timing of them must be correct. Some of them should be combined with certain foods. Some nutrients should be avoided with other foods. This sounds complicated, but it's really not. You know, anything new is complicated at first, but then when you just get it, when that light bulb goes off, and that's what I help people to do, then it becomes not only manageable, but it becomes your new normal. So what I hoped to relate to you today is that we know enough in the nutritional sciences, in the medical arena, in the holistic health arena, we know enough to make a tremendous impact upon the improvement of quality of life. Like so many people have said to me, Dr. Wald, I am not necessarily interested in living a long life. I mean, that would be great, I think. But what I really want is to live a life that allows me to experience life, that is not plagued by these persistent limitations. And I would say, yes, these allergies are really what is killing you. So please, do not run out there and get allergy testing. Start with the basics, a thorough conversation, completing questionnaires that really point to difficulties that are read by healthcare professionals that are holistically minded, that apply for your particular, now we can call them allergic, longevity and aging needs, so that your body's resiliency exceeds its degenerative capacity. Once the body's healing capacity exceeds the degenerative capacity, that is the building up of health. Now, I want to transgress and say to you, the next show topic is going to blow you away. I am now going to rip to shreds many of the concepts regarding what a healthy diet, what you think a healthy diet is, eating organically, etc., blah, 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 and the problems and lies involved in that. And I'll call that show The Healthy Diet Lie. Just like this show and every other show, every other Ask the Blood Detective concept, I hope and my intention is to give you the tools to either believe these concepts that I'm saying because you are well thought out as a blood detective, or to dismiss them. For those of you who work with me, I want to thank you for that. And those of you who have emailing me at the moment, you're messaging me, you want to know how you can work with me, I'd be happy to work with you. Call me at 914-242-8844, and I'll let you know how to do that. Additionally, send me more of your show concepts, the things you want to hear. Email me at info@blooddetective.com. And for those of you who want to go to my other shows, and I have over 60 videos on my website, please go to www.integratednutritionny.com. The phone number again is 914-242-8844. Please join me next time when I discuss the healthy diet lies. Thank you so much for listening. Speak to you soon. Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. You Catholic girls start much too late.